Welcome to Twi'lek Talk, a Star Wars podcast.
You may find the Riddick.
Welcome to episode 2 of Twi'lek Talk. I'm Rob Solo, and I'm here with my boys, Old Ben.
Hello there.
And Darth Dylan.
What's up?
The weekend of Star Wars Celebration has come to its conclusion, and we are going to get into all the reveals, the trailers, the toy releases, panels, and interviews, and all the rest of it. My whole life was dedicated to Star Wars this weekend. Yeah, it was insane.
Wait, so what are you talking about? What happened?
What's Star Wars?
There's a ton of stuff we got to talk about. First, let me thank the Star Wars show hosts, Andy and Anthony, and all the rest of the crew at StarWars.com for covering the weekend and bringing all the action home to those of us who couldn't make it to Orlando, Florida.
And they always do a great job.
Yeah, you can catch all their videos at their website, StarWars.com, and watch the whole weekend. They covered everything, and I got to watch it. How much of the live show did you guys see?
As far as live?
Yeah, did you get
pretty
to watch
much, pretty much today because of work.
Sunday.
But I did catch a good number of the panels, obviously, after they were recorded, and overall, I mean, it just, there's so much, like I said, this is why we're here tonight, but there's so much to cover, so many things that are really exciting and incredible that are, you know, down the pipeline for Star Wars, and really psyched for us to talk about it.
How about you, Dylan?
I got to watch, after I got out of work on, I believe it was Friday, I watched the 40-year panel. Was that Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just great. Like, I got out of the gym and I just set up my phone in the car.
Wait, was that Friday or was that Thursday?
I think it might have been Thursday. I don't know.
It was Thursday.
Oh, it was Thursday.
Thursday. Okay. Well, this week flew by. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched the 40-year panel. I watched a bunch more. Pretty much, like, I watched snippets of, like, the whole scheme of things. I'm sure you watched all of it, Rob, but...
I did. I would get off of work. I was trying to get a connection on my phone behind the dumpster just to get
we
watched like 2 seconds here and 30 seconds there
just to get any news that was, you know, dropped on Instagram and whatnot. But when I would get home from work, I would just tune in directly to the live show and kind of go back and forth between the panels that I had missed when I had to work like a regular Joe. But what an exciting... would you guys say it topped the one last year?
Oh, easily.
I don't even remember last year's.
See? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, there weren't many surprises, I think. And we will get more into this, but there weren't a lot of, like, surprises or... But there was a lot of just solid sort of... You know, moving forward with a lot of things and a lot of anticipation for like trailers that we thought were going to be happening because they hadn't. They still hadn't said, "Yeah, there's going to be a Last Jedi trailer." But of course, we probably were like, "Yeah, they're having a Last Jedi, you know, a panel, so that would make sense."
You thought we would get something, but you didn't know how much we would get.
Well, because when Force Awakens came out, Celebration that year, we had gotten that behind the scenes thing, and people were speculating, well, maybe that's we'll be getting something like that this year and not get a trailer, and maybe get a trailer, I don't know, a month or two, because Disney likes to do that too. They like to all of a sudden drop something, you know, even if it's not a big event like this. Sometimes they like to just drop big, you know, announcements out of the blue, like, oh, hey, by the way, here's this. Like, oh, wait.
sitting down and it's there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But overall, I mean, yeah, they had a lot of good, you know, reveals for things. And, you know, obviously we'll continue talking about that.
Okay. So it all starts out with the 40-year panel, right? Opening. And we have the president of Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy. And she's talking about the 40-year anniversary, and she introduces who else? No other than
the creator
and creator,
Giorgio Boy.
Giorgio Boy, George Lucas, and damn, right there, that's a strong start, I'd say. And you got
Warwick, you got a good reception.
Yeah, you got Warwick Davis, you know, out there as well, and he's he was a big part of this celebration.
Master
he
was, of ceremonies.
Awesome. He was great. He was amazing.
I liked how he mentioned when he was very young and he wrote the letter to George Lucas.
Yeah.
About his action figures. Like, can I have the set? And then he showed the picture of him with his action figures.
He had so many toys. Cool. Yeah, he got so many. They just kept coming and coming. But that was
even really he was cool. A fan. He was, you know, he was an extra. I'm sure at the time that's what it was being called as an Ewok. But
Wicket.
It was just cool. Yeah Wicket.
He played a lot of W characters, and we'll get into other news with him later that's really important, but let's stick to the 40-year panel at the moment. Yeah, Warwick, he reads his letter to George, which was really touching. I thought that was awesome. And then we have Dave Filoni, the producer and director of all the animated stuff, the Clone Wars and the Rebels. He comes out, and he has his time. That was pretty awesome. I love Dave Filoni.
He's a cool guy. He's basically like George Lucas's like understudy. Like there was, you know, he came up with so many of characters and storylines that, I mean, of course it had to be okayed by George, but for Clone Wars and going forward, you know, when George sold, you know, Lucasfilm to Disney, Dave stayed on and continued doing, you know, obviously with Rebels, amazing work, and continues doing amazing work with that.
He's awesome. Oh, amazing writer, director, producer, and he's made me love the animated side of Star Wars more than I could have ever imagined. I love everything about it.
Some might even argue that the animated series are more developed and, you know, more adult than the movies, the films.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more information in there, a lot more content.
And they can go in different directions too, because they can go into that, because Star Wars, I mean, you know, you've got, obviously it's a sci-fi whatever, and there's the Force, which is sort of mystical, but I think the animation, the cartoons can go into a little bit more of a mystical kind of magical kind of area, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like with, and you still got time for like filler episodes as well. You could tell every little detail and show every little creature or every character, and expand like upon whales. That.
I like that in the Clone Wars and stuff, they explain more about kyber crystals and whatnot. That it brings depth to the story. I love that. And you know what? Even now with what's coming out in the Star Wars universe, we're starting to see even more callbacks to the Clone Wars animated series. And that's some stuff we're going to talk about as well that came out. Dave Filoni, he's a busy man. With Rebels now, we're going to get into that panel. But before we do that, let's talk about a few of the other guests that came out for the 40-year celebration panel. Hayden Christensen, which is really cool.
Standing ovation. I mean, pretty crazy.
Yeah. After all the, you know, hate that he's gotten over the years, which I don't really agree with, because he played Anakin. I thought he did a pretty good job, but it was really cool to see him get an ovation.
I'll tell you, he's grown on me more and more than ever before. I really like him. I would love to see him back in the cinematic universe.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure he's matured. Anything,
but you don't know. Yeah.
You don't know. And also, Ian McDormand came out for the 40th. Anniversary panel. That was really cool seeing the Emperor out there on stage, and he's a really cool guy. Very cool panel so far.
Yeah. And what I liked about this too was, because of course, obviously there's a lot of prequel hate out there. There's good stuff, there's bad stuff, and what I thought was really great was they were able to embrace everything that was Star Wars for the 40 years, the good, the bad, and everything else. Yeah. And you know,
they treated it as equal.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. You know, we were talking about Hayden before. I mean, that wasn't, you know, a lot of that, you know, again, don't want to rank on George Lucas, but a lot of it was his direction. And, you know, with that, and he even said that, you know, he wanted to possibly do other things with the character, but
yeah. What do you guys think of the Samuel L. Jackson call-in?
That was great. That was I love cool. that. That was I really hope that they bring him in. I hope that Jar Jar will have his true purpose.
Do you really think that there's any chance of Mace Windu coming back at any point?
I could see them doing a Mace Windu animated short with Samuel L. Jackson, like, voicing him from, like, you know, maybe before he joined the Jedi Order or his very early years. But you're not going
to... Okay, that makes sense to me, old Ben.
I think with how serious they've taken the direction of the films, I don't think that you can make that too serious, in my opinion.
He's all about it, Samuel.
Yeah.
He's obviously, if given the chance, he'd want to do it. Oh, but he'd do it. It just doesn't make
sense.
Maybe
a Force ghost.
Yeah.
There's always the Force ghost action.
You could always be a Force ghost.
You know who I am? I'm a Force ghost.
Oh, there's always a chance you could wind up in a future Star Wars film because Force ghosts exist.
Yeah.
And then we had Liam Neeson call in, and me and Dylan, we love Qui-Gon.
Oh, yeah. That was cool to see.
I think there's a possible chance we might get him as a Force ghost.
Oh, yeah, and he mentioned Jar Jar.
And he mentioned...
He's making the the
Jar Jar, the jokes continue, yeah.
He confirmed it, the theory.
Yeah.
So that's canon.
I thought that was so cool that this celebration, not only was it giving us great reveals and everything, it was extremely entertaining and comedic at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Especially starting off. This is the first panel you're getting, and I'm giggling in my seat as I'm watching this. Because I thought
that made me chuckle.
It was great, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's Star Wars is if anything, it's also there has to be comedy in this series because you know, if you don't have it, it's just a bunch of people in space flying around.
Yeah. And these
Star
guys,
Trek.
Even as actors, they're so comedic, you know? Like they're just fun to watch on stage. They're entertaining. Then they bring out Billy Dee Williams, Anthony Daniels, and Peter Mayhew. So you got Lando, C-3PO, and Chewbacca. We're getting crazy now with the 40th anniversary panel.
Yeah.
I thought Anthony Daniels had a funny story about when he was completely naked and then he had to have his suit molded onto him. That was pretty funny.
Oh, my goodness.
He is extremely
Mr. Lucas.
Fun to listen to. Anthony Daniels is charismatic. Entertaining. I watched the, we'll get into it maybe later, but the when he was doing his 3PO panel, I don't think I laughed harder than the entire weekend. That him and Warwick together on that panel.
Oh,
was
God, that must be a comedy duo like no other.
Oh, you have no idea. You have to watch it. It was
a new reality TV show.
Yeah, he was great.
Davis and Daniels.
Yeah,
a buddy cop movie. Yeah.
So you got the original cast out there, and then they bring out the legend Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill himself, and everyone
himself.
Goes crazy. Hamill himself, and all the hamsters flip their lids and start running on the wheels and. This is like the most crazy energy in the room, and it's everyone's in there, all the originals, right?
Yeah, you think it can't get any bigger?
Could you imagine electricity in the room if you were actually there?
My ears would still be ringing.
I feel faint thinking about it.
I wouldn't even know, like right if I had gone right now, I don't know if I'd be so just full of adrenaline or just dead sleep.
Oh yeah,
I would be a Force ghost.
Yeah.
It was a good panel, the 40th anniversary. So they're all hanging out. They're talking about Star Wars. And then out comes who?
Mr. Blade Runner himself.
That's right.
They surprised the crowd with Harrison Ford being at Star Wars Celebration in Orlando. And nobody knew. They kept that secret.
Yeah, there was a little speculation, wasn't there?
Yeah,
like a little bit.
There definitely was.
He was in the area
40th without him,
but nobody knew for sure, right?
Yeah, it was just rumors. That must have been so cool because, from what I've heard, he's pretty hard to get a hold of for things Star Wars.
Were you guys surprised?
I was.
No, I wasn't. I mean, like Dylan had said, there was definitely a rumor, but you know, well, you can't have all of these big top, you know, players without him, because he's the biggest, if not, you know, synonymous with such an iconic character like Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and especially with Carrie Fisher passing, I mean, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that you have him there.
Yeah.
I think he got the biggest reception of anyone.
Oh, people went nuts.
Such a shock.
They went crazy when he came out.
I mean, he's a sly guy. Just his presence makes everyone, like, happy because he's so cool.
I liked all the little jokes about him crashing his plane.
Oh, Warwick?
Warwick's funny. Warwick Davis is hilarious. I'm so happy he was, like, hosting that everything. But, yeah, so that was a really cool panel for the 40th celebration. Is there anything else you guys want to add before we move on?
Well, something actually, a prequel to that was Forces of Destiny that came out earlier in the day.
Yes.
Lucasfilm revealed that this summer, and I don't know what the future is going to be for it, but they're going to be producing, they've put together these animated shorts of various characters that people know from the movies. So it's everyone from Jyn Erso to Leia to Hera, and they're going to be in these, I don't know how long, you know, 5 to 10 minute shorts of stories that took place between the movies, whether that's between or before, you know, like I believe the Leia one is around Return of the Jedi. Jyn's one's right before the events of Rogue One. So that's pretty awesome that they're going to be expanding the universe and telling new stories with these characters we already know.
And it's going to span the entire timeline. They did show one episode at the Star Wars Celebration.
Right, yeah.
That looks cool. It's all 2D.
Plus, it shows that Hera is around in Return of the Jedi. So yeah,
I know old Ben's happy about this new information that's come out.
That is my girl, yes.
Hera will be around in Return of the Jedi. The Twi'lek, green Twi'lek, who pilots the Ghost in Rebels.
She's not the only one.
Nope. Ahsoka lives, baby.
We'll get to the back a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll
get to that. My girl's alive. We'll get to that in a little bit.
You love your Ahsoka.
Yeah. But they did a lovely Carrie Fisher tribute as well.
Yes, that made me very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had goosebumps.
Great video they put together.
It was very her, you know? It wasn't made as a sappy, like, in memoriam video. It was just very
thought out.
Yeah, it was just really cool to watch.
Yeah, and I think what really just, if that didn't pull on your heartstrings, bringing out John Williams at the end was like,
I couldn't watch that. It made me like,
when they started Leia's theme, I definitely was starting to tear up a bit.
The Han Solo Princess Leia theme they started out with.
Then they had the Star Wars theme, then they had the Imperial March. It was just, you know, someone had joked, like, how do you hide an orchestra and John Williams behind and no one not even know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but you know, if you think about it, you can't have a 40-year, you know, panel without John Williams, because, you know, without his, you know, without that texture, without that music, I mean, again, it's one more big piece of the puzzle that makes Star Wars so special.
He went all out. They went all out this celebration. That was a local orchestra from Orlando.
Probably like the Orlando Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, and he came out, and out of nowhere, after they showed this video and they were doing this tribute to Carrie Fisher, they played the Leia theme. Then they played the main title, which was it was beautiful, and the Imperial March, wonderful. How cool was that? That was so cool.
It was amazing. It was such a good, like I said, it was just such a good kind of way to end that, you know, which could have been, you know, everyone could have really just lost it, but it was touching. It was bittersweet, and it made a lot of sense that, you know, you end with that. So
yeah. And old Ben, you got to meet Carrie.
In October at New York Comic Con. For those who are listening who've ever gone for a photo op, you don't get a whole lot of time with these people. I mean, it's a long line of, just waiting. But you do get enough. I did have enough time, like most, just to say, hi, thank you so much. You and those movies meant that. Well, I told her, you and those movies meant so much to me in my childhood and still do. And she's like, oh, thank you so much, honey. And it just, sweet lady. I still think about it. It's just like, it's crazy that,
it's a crazy moment. Every time I look at that picture, I just think, man, that really happened. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad I was able to meet her and stuff. And cause for all of us, that was, I said it before in the first podcast, she was my first, crush growing up and everything. And, many, boys growing up around that age bracket and with those movies coming out. I mean, but she represented not just, eye candy. She was such an amazingly strong character for women and was, she wasn't just a damsel in distress. She was the one, I think I'm sort of paraphrasing what George Lucas said, but she was the one that was saving the two other guys who were just running around, not knowing what to do. She was the one that was taking initiative and had the plan.
Oh yeah.
And I'm going to shoot my way out of here if I have to.
Get in the garbage chute. Yeah.
And they couldn't have cast someone more perfect than Carrie Fisher for that role, because in some ways that's, it just makes a lot of sense now in retrospect. But, me watching that, of course, again, having met her very briefly, it was, it was definitely very emotional. So
it's going to be very emotional to see her in the future episode, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a wonderful tribute to her. They did a great job. Great video. They put together a great orchestra show. I'm glad they did that right off the bat, and it made you feel real emotional. It was nice. The first day, I was surprised how good the first day of Star Wars Celebration was. I was like, wow, right. I thought maybe they would take it easy,
But no, they came full. They came out, all guns blazing, and, they wanted to, get everyone excited and ready and psyched and, for the, kicking off this celebration of 40 years of, cinema magic.
Yeah. So wonderful start to Star Wars Celebration this year in Orlando. Can we talk about Rebels?
We can.
What's that?
It's sad, not sad in it's sad, but it is sad because, they did announce, Dave Filoni did announce this indeed. I mean, we kind of knew this, but this will indeed be the last season for Star Wars Rebels, the closer and closer we're getting to the events of Rogue One and New Hope, it makes sense, but still, a little bit selfish and love these characters and love the stories they're telling. So that's why I'm a little bit come on. No, do another.
I thought maybe there would be maybe two more seasons or one more season. I would take it either way. I fell in love with these characters. It's a big part of my entertainment for Star Wars. But when they dropped that trailer, I could see it being the end. They had a really good panel on day three of Star Wars Celebration. It was the Rebels panel, but they brought out a lot of the voice actors. They had Steven Bloom, who plays Zeb.
I love Steve Bloom.
You like him?
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
They brought out Freddie Prinze Jr., who is Kanan. They brought out Tia Sarkar. I hope I'm saying everyone's name right. She plays Sabine. And Vanessa Marshall, who is Hera Syndulla. Taylor Gray, even. Ezra Bridger was there. And they revealed a lot of stuff about the upcoming season, I would say. I think they gave a little away during this panel.
Yeah.
Besides the trailer. But you kind of get a glimpse into what this entire season is going to be about. And now knowing that it is coming to an end, this is the final season. It's a little overwhelming for me. I don't know about you guys, but
yeah, because I've been watching it from the beginning. Yeah, you know, like I said, you watch the, you know, watch these shows and you get attached to, you know, whatever you show you might like. You get attached to characters. You cheer them on when they, you know, have their victories. You're with them when, you know, they suffer loss. And, you know, for these characters, especially it being obviously a Star Wars, you know, TV show. Yeah, it's, you know, you see the characters grow, but, you know, obviously, too, that you don't want them to overwhelm their stay. So this is probably, yeah, you know, a good thing that they're going to be wrapping up their stories coming up. Even the trailer, too, did give away, like I was telling you, Rob, I felt like the Hera's monologue in the trailer almost seemed like, you know, like a eulogy for, you know, everyone else that, you know, whatever had happened.
It did.
Yeah. Like you got a glimpse of, you know, what had happened and, you know, here's the aftermath. No pun intended.
All right.
Yeah.
I totally agree. That trailer was so badass, but can I say something? They had a little panel with Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo on the first day of the celebration before the Rebels panel even happened. And Hidalgo came out with a Ahsoka Lives t-shirt with an exclamation point. And they talked a little bit about some stuff that had happened in Rebels. There was a earlier script of the Maul and Obi-Wan Kenobi fight out on Tatooine. They talked a little bit about some Clone Wars stuff where I know we discussed this off mic, me and you all, Ben, and I think Darth Dylan too. I think you were there. Where we said that maybe it would have been cooler to show old Ben having, Darth Maul, like bringing up the old stuff from the Clone Wars, but like they explained that it really wouldn't have worked in that Rebels episode, Twin Sons. But they said there was actually a version of that where they showed a little bit of like Satine, Duchess, and whatnot.
They should have. I mean, it adds emotional weight to that whole thing, and it shows that, you know, even though old Ben at that point was very just in tune with things that, hey, at the end of the day, he's still a human and, you know, he still feels emotion and just, you know, have Maul's perfect foil to goad people into, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, but him saying, I think that protecting someone, meaning Luke, I think that was enough though.
Yeah,
you know,
to it was. Get him. I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was interesting that they had mentioned that. And that we had discussed that before we knew that there was an actual version of that. I thought that was really neat. But to get back to the Rebels panel, they said Mon Mothma will be back in this season. Saul Guerrera, as you saw in the trailer, will be back. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but he's like standing in front of like a giant kyber crystal.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty cool. They said, I don't know if this is a spoiler. Obviously, everything in this episode is a spoiler for the weekend, but I don't know if this is actually a spoiler for you two guys. They said that you will see Yavin 4 base in this season.
No, I mean, I think that wasn't... Didn't they sort of hint at, without saying it, at the last episode of this season that, like, they were going there?
But
they
come out and say Yavin 4.
I mean, I could imagine. It would make it's inevitable that, you know, they're getting so close to those events that they would have that base already set up.
I thought that was like big news.
No. That's okay. No, I mean, but you're going to be getting closer and closer too. I also just thought of something also with Saw Gerrera. I mean, you're probably going to see that dissension between him and Mon Mothma and the Rebel Alliance as he goes off on his own to do his own version, his own more sadistic version of the Rebel Alliance with his, you know, guys on Jeddah. So you're probably going to see that. You're probably going to see
him
move in that direction. So
maybe we'll, Dylan, maybe we will see Borg Gullet.
Dylan would lose his stuff.
That's all I care about.
You would be so happy together.
Yeah.
For those of us,
I feel bad. I don't really connect with all this stuff you guys are saying, but I'm listening.
So there is really big news about Rebels too that I also wanted to discuss. It was a great panel. I love to see everybody out there. But Warwick Davis was kind of making jokes about how he's never voiced anybody in Rebels. or in the animated universe, I think he said. And so now it turns out he will be voicing Thrawn's bodyguard slash assassin Rook.
That's pretty awesome.
As seen in the trailer.
Yeah. And that race of species are actually going to be in that movie also. Be the show also.
How do you say their name? Do you know?
I couldn't pronounce it.
It's something simple, too. It's like four letters.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Warwick's going to voice this character. Now, we were talking about this recently at work, I think. In the extended universe, his demise is through his bodyguard, right? Is this the character that you were telling me about in the extended universe? It is. So they're bringing this character back into canon.
Could be a tease. Could be teasing. Because people that know. But I don't know. I mean, I still and I don't remember the quote, though, that the Bendu had told Thrawn, the reason, how he will have what will be his downfall. And I just still think, too, that I think they're going to follow along the same lines of, it's not going to be the rebels. It's going to be someone within his own circle that's going to betray him. And that very well could be.
Yeah. You think they're going to go that route, that it was the extended universe route.
But it would be really weird, because it would be really, like many people have voiced, Thrawn is such a good villain. You know, I don't want him to go quite yet. I think you can really just, he's such a amazing military strategist and just, is two steps ahead of everybody. Just to have him, I don't know. Again, in Dave Filoni we trust, so yeah. We'll have to see.
And it looks like there's a lot of Mandalorian stuff going on. One thing I wanted to bring up was, I don't know how far Darth Dillon got in the Clone Wars, but Bo-Katan is back, and it appears she has the dark saber, which would mean Mandalore is being led by her. And for those of you who don't know who Bo-Katan is, Bo-Katan is Duchess Satine, which was Obi-Wan's love. That's her sister, and she was a big part in the Clone Wars, and she also was a leader of the Death Watch on Mandalore.
Right.
She's back in season 4. She's got the darksaber. It looks as if maybe Sabine passed the darksaber on to Bo-Katan. Now she's leading all of Mandalore. And it looks like they have quite a pretty badass army to fight off the Empire.
What do you think? That seems to be the direction they're going with that character. Yeah.
Yeah. I always liked Bo-Katan. I thought she was cool. Darth Dillon, have you gotten to those parts in Clone Wars?
I cannot say.
Well, you cannot say, or I'm you don't slacking. Want
to? Well, you get
I feel there. Like I've been living the same day since the last episode. I'm getting there, though.
All right. Yeah, you'll get there.
But yeah, I'm in like this stuff with Cad Bane.
Oh, okay.
So I'm still pretty early on, but still.
Oh, speaking of Cad Bane, they also had an outtake with Boba Fett versus Cad Bane. I'm sure you guys saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Oh, yeah?
Is that considered canon?
No, unfinished animation that they were possibly going to use for the Clone Wars.
So what exactly happened in that?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that was some unfinished animation they had shown of something that took place where Boba Fett was young in this.
Scene. Oh yeah, he had a very young I'm a bounty hunter. Leave me alone.
Yeah, and what exactly happened?
They had a classic standoff. Where they're going to draw their weapons and
who pulls the trigger.
Yeah.
And Cad Bane was a really badass bounty hunter in the Clone Wars. I liked him.
I like his character.
He's cool, right?
Well, there's talk of maybe him coming back to, for the last season. Again, I it would be cool, but I just hope they haven't decided to throw all these characters like, oh, we didn't have this guy in there. Oh, we didn't have that guy.
Yeah, like a Star Wars all-star lineup.
Don't flood it. So we got the trailer. Anything else you guys want to say about the trailer for season 4 of Rebels? Because it was amazing. I think actually, can I be honest?
Be honest. This is what we're here for.
Ahsoka lives.
I think I felt more emotion from watching, not to compare, and it's not a pissing contest, but I felt such emotion from the Star Wars Rebels. I've grown so attached to the Star Wars Rebels characters that I felt. And especially after he announced that this is going to be the final season before he showed the trailer. Am I right?
Yes, I believe he did. Yeah.
And so like watching the Star Wars Rebels season four trailer, knowing it was going to be the final season, was so much emotion. It was very emotional to me. When we get into the Last Jedi trailer, it was very nice. I'm glad what they did. I'm very happy with it. And not to compare, but I never thought I'd feel more emotion for the animated side of things more than live action.
Let me just say one thing too.
Yeah.
I remember when Rebels was first announced and when it first started its run on Disney. I just remember being in my old room, because I'm in a basement right now. My old room, it was just on TV. And I was like, oh, cool, a new Star Wars show. And now we're talking about it, and it's like an influential show on a lot of people, and it's had its impacts, and it's having its final run. It's just crazy to see how far it's really come and how great it's been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where I think a lot of people were like, oh, what is this? It's on Disney XD? Oh, great.
We're not gonna show it definitely anything. Started off like that, didn't it?
It got darker. I mean, even after that, towards the end of the first season, I mean, it got dark. And I think this last season, you know, they're going to be pulling out, you know, all the stops to, you know, to further that. Because, again, you get closer and closer to Rogue One, and that is definitely not a, you know, a completely a family movie. You know, it's very tragic. And I think that, just judging by the tone of the trailer and just the panel itself, I mean, there's going to be, you know, some tragedy coming up for our heroes. So
Dave Filoni said, he said it's going to be darker in the panel. Yeah. It's going to be darker. We're going to bring back some old characters you haven't seen in a while. I am super excited. Wonderful job. I think the whole cast is awesome. They're great. Yeah. Old Ben, I hope you get to work with them one day, because these guys are fucking, they look like they're having a great time. They're fun.
I'm working on it.
It's going to be on the next series after Rebels.
And they did announce there is going to be another animated series, but they did not, they said there's going to be, but they did not say.
Oh, what. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just the Forces of Destiny.
No, there will be something else. They just haven't they haven't announced anything yet.
In the near distant future, like maybe in a year or two.
That's probably 2 years. I'm all about animation at this point. Let's take a break, guys. We'll come back. We'll talk. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you guys off. Is there anything you want to add to the Rebels?
Panel? Agent Kallus and his 70s mutton chops.
Gosh, how about those mutton chops?
Now that's something I can get behind.
That was cool, right? What does he say? He's like,
let's get to work. Whatever.
Let's get to work. And he clotheslines like a stormtrooper.
When I watched Zero Hour with you guys, he was he stood out for me. He was a cool character. I want to see what's all about him.
I love his 70s haircut with his mutton chops.
Super 70s.
I'm really happy for you, Ben, that Hera survives.
Yes. Yes, my girl.
Did they say Chopper survives too?
Yeah.
They did, right? No, we don't know about the rest of them.
Well, I guess we're going to find out. I mean, I'm sure, unless they plan on having, you know, their story continuing in either a movie or a novel or a comic book, I mean, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, anyway, for the rest of the cast, they're probably not going to make it. But that's all speculation at this point. Let's take a break. After these messages, we'll delve into the Last Jedi panel and talk a little bit about that. We'll be back.
Oh yeah.
Not able to bullseye Womp Rats like you used to? Are you falling into your own emotional Sarlacc pit? Maybe you need to add some Bantha milk into your diet. More protein than root leaf stew, and much healthier than death sticks. Bantha milk will give you the energy you need to outrun those Tusken Raiders. Bantha milk. Liquid, blue, yummy, really yummy.
All right, we are back from our commercial break. This is Twi'lek Talk, episode number 2, and we are covering the amazing events, the tiring, exciting, every other word you can to describe it, Star Wars Celebration this past weekend. And right now, we are going to be talking about the Last Jedi panel. The much anticipated Last Jedi panel, and now, I don't know if we want to start off with the trailer, or you guys want to talk about the guests and any kind of highlights as far as what they had to say about it leading up to it.
I think there's kind of a gradual progression throughout the panel. I think and the trailer was kind of like the aftermath of it, I felt.
Yeah. So they had Rian Johnson and Kathleen Kennedy out there first. Rian Johnson being the director of the movie and Kathleen Kennedy being the president of Lucasfilms. And then where'd they go from there?
Also, if I could say something, I have complete faith in that guy.
You like him?
I like him a lot. I think he has the charisma. I think he's down to earth. I love the fact that he's taking photos with his like vintage camera of everything. He really cares about what he's doing.
Yeah. He's a student of the game. He's definitely in that age bracket that grew up with the original trilogy and wanted, this is like a dream come true for someone like that. That's a director that loves sci-fi, that loves Star Wars, is an amazing storyteller. And him, like I said, a lot of these guys, even, J.J. Abrams, even though he'd had success with television and some film stuff, I mean, for these guys, like, this is like kid in a candy store kind of, area,
You could tell throughout the panel that he was just blown away about where he was sitting, looking out into this crowd of people that he needs to impress or else he's in deep trouble.
He went out and talked to the fans and stuff. It was really cool. Before they even started. Yeah. For hours he was out there talking to the fans. He seems really cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. He's our director. He did a couple movies. Looper was one I thought was pretty cool. Did you guys see
Amazing,
Looper?
Amazing, yeah.
That was good. I don't really know his other movies, but from what I see in Looper, I could totally see something being pretty amazing. Gareth Edwards was the same way. He was such a geek. And for him to get to do a Star Wars film, it was like a dream come true for a kid.
Yeah, another really cool thing about since Disney bought Lucasfilm, they've focused on not just finding their guy, their one guy, where you're going to direct all of these, you're going to write all of these, you're going to produce all of these. They're finding these younger talents that of course, are amazingly talented, creative people that love the product and grew up with it. I think it's very important to, have some sort of background, and some sort of, just loves this,
series. Love for the medium and a love for the, for Star Wars in general.
Right.
Darth Dylan, did you see the movie Looper?
I did not.
Okay, I suggest it. Check it out. That's our director.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it's got Bruce Willis in it.
That's what we're looking at.
And Gordon Lovett, what's his name?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. We can't remember. I'm bad with celebrity names. So then Daisy Ridley comes out with John Boyega. BB-8 comes out. Then we have Mark Hamill and this new character, Rose. And this is our
panel. I really like that. I like seeing a glimpse into that. And her name was Kelly Marie Tran.
Yeah.
And it's really cool for her. You could just, by the way she was speaking, she said that she had to hide from her family for months. She said she was doing an independent film. And then can you imagine her telling her family that she's in the new Star Wars?
I like that.
That's crazy.
When they were talking about how she had to be so secretive about it. She said she was doing an indie film in Canada or something.
Yeah, in Canada. And she had to bring home maple syrup.
That was
cool. To prove it.
Yeah.
Rose, I feel like Rose is going to be a cool character because she's just like your ordinary maintenance worker from what I've heard. And she's part of the Resistance. And I think they're going to bring her in like a very unexpected way. Like she's just going to get thrown into the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be a love interest for either Poe or Finn.
Ooh. I could see that. I never thought about that, but that's a good point.
I didn't think about that either. Interesting.
Maybe Luke.
Maybe? She looks a little young for Luke, but who knows? It's another galaxy far, far away. Who knows what their standards
are. Yeah, who cares?
Warwick Davis was hosting this, right?
No, yes. It was...
No.
What's his name? The guy from that one movie.
I don't know who he was. Do you guys know him? I don't know him.
He was very enthusiastic about Star Wars. I've seen him around. I hate to not know his name. but
he had his own stage. There was like three main stages. I don't remember the guy's name, but anyway,
he's a guy.
Let's get into the trailer then.
Well, first, I want to say something real quick about what Daisy Ridley said about she was allowed to reveal one thing about her character and Luke. And she basically said that we're going to go deeper into Rey's story than in The Force Awakens, which I think is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because we only saw a little glimpse in The Force Awakens of Rey, and I think there's so much more potential and so much more depth that you can go into with her character, where she stands on the side of light and darkness. She said that there's a certain expectation that they told her she would have about Luke, and in The Last Jedi, it's pretty much not going to be all that it seems. She said meeting your heroes might not be what you actually expect. So right. I think Luke's going to be maybe just this hermit, that not all powerful Jedi that they described him as.
Obi-Wan style, he went into hiding. He's been on this island studying like ancient Jedi stuff. And
yeah, as we get into the trailer, it's more prevalent.
Well, what I'm getting from the trailer is definitely that maybe he discovers these ancient doctrines of the way that the Jedi were at one moment in time, and realizes that the Jedi Order, like, so Obi-Wan came from and Qui-Gon Jinn and those characters, was kind of like a skewed version of that. And they're going to go the gray route. Is that, does that seem like
this? I have a feeling, sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I'm getting, right?
Yeah, I have a feeling that, because at one point in the trailer that you do see these documents, like it looks like they're books. And I'm thinking it could be the Journal of the Wills. So maybe Luke is looking for the Journal of the Wills and found them. And he's sort of going over these and realizing that, you know, the Jedi way, the way the dogmatic view of that they've held for so long is not, you know, maybe the right way, and that maybe that's why the Force is never really in balance.
And where does the Jedi of the Wills come from exactly?
Well, now in canon, isn't the Force priestesses that?
Was that Mason Chirrut in Rogue One? They kind of like studied they were the guardians of the Wills, right?
Yeah.
Now, is that different?
I don't know.
Interesting. But wasn't that the main title of the original script or something along those lines?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And these scripts, you guys think he's been hanging out in this island, kind of just practicing the ancient ways of the Jedi, and realizes maybe at some point the Jedi Order existing on Coruscant and everything that he was taught in the last, you know, couple hundred years or whatnot, has been created something that's fallen far from the original manuscript.
I'm just thinking this maybe too. Is, you know, how there's the story that Palpatine felt some sort of presence of the dark side, you know, that's beyond space, you know, beyond their space. That maybe Luke, you know, realized he felt something similar and was going to try to find an answer to that. You know what I mean? Like some sort of way to battle that aspect. I don't know. I mean, it's because they said on Octu, where Rey does find Luke, that is the site of the first ever Jedi temple.
So it's the very first original transcripts of these so-called Jedi. And we're moving more into a gray area, won't you say?
Well, in the trailer too, you know, he asks, what do you see? And she says, the light, darkness, and the balance. And I think at the end of this trilogy that – here's what I think. I just thought of this. Vader brought balance to the Force, but I think Rey is going to end up being the balance in the Force.
Yeah, that would
pretty
make
deep
sense.
Pretty deep, huh?
So what do you think about – so Darth Dylan, for example, what do you think about the whole seeing Kylo Ren's mask in pieces? You think this dude just threw a temper tantrum and just smashed the shit up?
I think he's still – he's got his poppy issues. with Solo.
He smashed up his mask because he was upset.
Yeah, definitely. Nah, I think there's something more in depth to it. It could be they revealed, like, that you sent me before, like, the original trailer for The Force Awakens was similar to this trailer, which I think I saw after that the trailer was edited for Force Awakens. But still, I think maybe they just threw that in just to reflect, like, Darth Vader's helmet is destroyed in The Force Awakens, and now Kylo Ren's helmet is destroyed in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
It's just, like, reflecting on that. I don't know if there's much more of a deeper meaning to it. You could go in depth.
And he's going philosophical. He's going to go helmetless throughout this entire movie.
I think that would be cool. Yeah. He's got a nice face.
He does. And we get the ancient symbol of the Jedi, supposedly, on the book cover. Was this trailer everything you guys hoped it was going to be?
It didn't reveal too much.
Yeah.
I think this was more of a teaser. I know it's someone had said to me at work that, well, it didn't show anything. It's like, well, it wasn't supposed to really show you anything. This was supposed to just give you a glimpse into what thematically what they're going for. And it's going to be a darker movie, and it's going to be, like you said, more secrets will be revealed. And, you know, there's still that, well, we find out who Rey's parents are. Or is it going to be vague, or is it going to be kind of obvious, or is it going to be whatever? You know, this trailer gave me enough where I'm excited about it. Do I wish there was a little bit more? I mean, of course, everyone that I talked to was saying, man, wouldn't it have just been cool if all of a sudden you just see Luke with the green lightsaber just, you know, igniting?
I was hoping that's to come, though. That's to come.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, we're, I think we're, I think they're preparing us for that. So we just got to be patient.
The less they reveal about this movie, the greater it will be in the theater and having that experience watching it and seeing Luke with his green lightsaber.
We're just so spoiled.
I'm going to stay off the internet for this one.
Like, you know what it is?
I might stay off the internet till December 20, whenever it comes out.
It's like, you know, we do want more because we're just so spoiled these days with the internet. I did want to see a little Luke in action, but I totally understand. We're far away from the movie release. We're going to get more. I'm very excited. Yeah. I think it was a fantastic panel. People flipped.
I think I saw a great explanation of what the trailer was. It showed nothing, but it showed everything. Mm. You know, it's just everything you needed to see at the moment.
And Ryan Johnson came out and said on Good Morning America that The Last Jedi is singular, but he wouldn't say if it was Luke or not.
I saw in plain sight in The Force Awakens opening crawl. It says The Last Jedi, Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. So it might just be something that's like within our eyes that we can see, like from the start. It might not be this stellar outcome. It might just be that Luke Skywalker is the Last Jedi. And I get there's a lot of theories with the poster.
Oh, no, then that Rey is the next representation of that, of not the Jedi, but maybe a. But I still say, like, you know, it's just.
Ben's not okay with this.
I'm not okay with just ending the Jedi. Jedi and Star Wars are synonymous with one another, and but it's pretty obvious that Snoke and Kylo are definitely not of. There is dark side power force, you know, that they use, but I don't think that they're not calling themselves Sith though.
Let me ask you this, old man.
Yeah.
Are you okay with there being no Sith?
I don't know about that either. I mean,
that's forces.
I realize too that they have to go. You can't just continue doing the same thing over and over again. But
so you're okay with no Sith, but you're not okay with no Jedi. That's forcism, old Ben.
Listen,
forces.
Back in my day, we'd had no problem with that.
What's your balance, bro?
I don't know. It's like I've always said, like. If they can explain it and it makes sense and it moves the story forward, cool. But I mean, on the outset, I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
It's a midichlorian type thing.
TBD to be determined. So we'll see.
We won't talk about that.
So Luke says, if I know one thing, the Jedi must end. And that's
he did.
That's what everyone's talking about.
Everyone was just like, this guy. I was at this restaurant yesterday. I got a counterfeit. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. I got a official licensed Last Jedi t-shirt. this guy came up to me and he's like, did you see the trailer? And I'm like, yes, I did. And he's like, I don't know what to say. And I think everyone's just in shock about this trailer. Like, the Jedi, it's so potent in the series. And it's just, we're seeing an end to it. And this is just such a drastic leap.
People are a little freaked out about it.
Yeah. Right, old Ben has every right to be freaked.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't wait till we see the movie. Wait till we get a little bit more. And then we'll make our, you know, final judgment. So.
Yeah.
Because we don't know the context of it.
Nope.
Yeah, it's a trailer. It's a teaser, especially. So.
It was a teaser / trailer.
I'm excited to see Snoke.
Now, I heard through the grapevine that we're going to get a Snoke that isn't CGI. It's actually a practical effect.
That's what I'm very Snoke excited
puppet. Yeah.
About.
Snoke puppet? We're getting a Snoke puppet?
Snoke I want puppet. A Snoke puppet for Christmas.
I heard
Christmas.
Something that he has. I don't know if this was real or not, but he wears a bunch of rings.
Oh.
And he's going to be wearing like a silk robe, like a gold laced robe.
Yes.
And he's going to have.
Sounds like David Bowie.
He's going to be very Bowie-esque.
David Snoke. Yeah, he's going to be.
He's got a black crystal ring, I heard.
Yeah, yeah. So who knows with that? And he's going to be in a ship for a decent amount of the film. That's what I heard. Like,
and I heard his ship is pretty big.
Yeah, it's supposedly, from the article, it's one of the biggest ships that we've seen.
I'm excited for... Everyone's talking about Rey's parents. I want to know the Snoke thing, just so I don't have to see any more theories online.
Yeah, what and who is he?
Yeah, just give it to us.
Yeah, yeah.
I want it. We're going to have to wait for the movie, though. It comes out in December.
Yeah.
Yep.
One last thing I want to talk about. Is there anything else you guys want to add to the Last Jedi panel? It was fantastic. They did a great job. Anything, old Ben?
No, nothing. I think we covered that part of it pretty well.
Very cool trailer, teaser. Anything, Darth Dylan?
I think the thing that I'm most happy about is the poster that we got.
Wow, the poster.
That, when that was first revealed, Rian Johnson was like, we have a teaser poster for you. And everyone was like, oh, because they didn't think they were going to get a trailer. But I thought the poster itself would have been enough for me.
That,
like, that poster is great.
Is great. I love it.
One of the best posters, I think, since probably A New Hope. I mean, very New Hope. It definitely as a callback to A New Hope, especially with Luke, you know, holding the lightsaber with the big, you know, laser coming out of it, and Leia underneath him and the droids. And but this is definitely very reminiscent of that.
If the movie's good, it may be my second favorite poster in the universe. Next to the New Hope poster, of course. But yeah, oh wow, whoa, yes, that poster is amazing. I know
my
iPhone
is very happy.
I know Darth Dylan has an official license one on the way to his house right now.
I do. Shipped from Hong Kong.
I am extremely curious of when I can get mine. I'm thinking about maybe just printing me up one at Staples, my local Staples. Great panel. Fucking loved it. Great
vibes in the room.
Great vibes.
Yeah.
Awesome crowd. All the fans are fantastic. Some of the cosplay I saw at Star Wars Celebration was so amazing. I've never seen...
Borg gullet costume.
There was no Borg.
You just want to be one for Halloween.
There will be in 2 years when I go.
I did see Saw Gerrera cosplay passing out flyers if you've seen Borg gullet. Did you see that?
No, that's
awesome. I've been sent to
you. So I think he's still there. Telling you.
Saul Guerrero was passing out flyers. Have you seen Borg gullet?
That makes me happy.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Battlefront 2. How awesome does that look? I'm not a gamer anymore, but I'm
neither am I.
I'm thinking about getting back into it.
You guys are gonna get PlayStation 4s like me, and we're all gonna play.
Oh boy, there's a separate like podcast for
us raging. Oh, he killed me.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, but I always enjoy like seeing the actual like cutscenes from these. Like I'll sit down and I'll binge watching any of the stuff like from like even like Jedi Outcast and older like PC stuff.
You did a good job with those. The thing is, with the original Battlefront, not the original, the one they came out with for these consoles, the next gen consoles, it was multiplayer only online, and they had like some standalone missions that you could do, but there was no actual story mode. With this, it looks like we're getting a full blown story mode, which is going to be very cool with cutscenes and everything. So I think they're doing it right.
With the Force Unleashed too, that was like one of those where they had like practically a full cinematic movie, and it was just awesome. And
aren't they linking this Battlefront 2 along with the book that's going to come out? I'm pretty sure. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, with the new character
Inferno Squad, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is the book. It was announced that the book is actually called Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad, and it follows these stormtroopers and the Inferno Squad. They start out, like in the trailer, as you see in Battlefront 2, they start out killing rebels, and the Death Star explodes in the sky above them. And then I'm assuming they're on Endor, right? And they start to think, like, what the hell do we do now?
It's a great sort of angle, because it's a different. We're getting like the Empire's point of view, like just a soldier that really truly believes in the Empire and what they do, and you know, getting this kind of like, you know, different look at it, where you know they see that as like, you know, we've got to, you know, what do? We fight back? Do we retreat? You know, what do we do?
The book that's coming out, Inferno Squad, is actually called Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad. It's written by Christy Golden, and it should be released soon. Just the way that game starts out, that trailer, it made me want a game again. I was like, wow, look how cool this looks. And it spans the entire timeline of the Star Wars universe. We see in the trailer Luke, Darth Maul, Yoda,
Kylo Ren, and Rey.
Right.
They're doing it for all three eras. I know people are kind of upset because there's no mention of clones, but they might do like a DLC or something. That's what they usually do. Like, get you to spend a little bit of extra money. Regardless, I think it's going to be pretty cool if we have like this slew of characters that we can choose from. Darth Maul, definitely. Darth Maul against Yoda.
That'll look cool. That'll look really cool.
Yeah.
And it just looks amazing to me.
And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they made a portion of it virtual reality, because I have the PlayStation VR, and I've done the X-Wing mission, and you guys got to try that out, because you feel like you're actually there.
I would
like
love
I have memories of myself being in space, you know? That's awesome. Crazy. I'll let you guys try that out.
Well, you are a space cadet, so
I am.
I would love to try that virtual reality. That's something that caught my attention when it first came out, and they showed you flying around in space, fighting TIE fighters in the X-Wing. I was like, wow, that's something I can get into. And now seeing this trailer from Battlefront 2, I think that the team, they're tidying up all of the, you know, all of the things that the fans had complained about. Expanding the boards, making the single player a little bit better than it had been the previous Battlefront. And just the way it looks is just phenomenal. Some of this stuff looks better than some of the movies. Like,
I think this is like a trial run for Star Wars in general. With The Force Awakens, I feel like they're doing what the fans didn't like. They're bringing things that the fans will like. With Battlefront, the fans complain, now they're bringing their hopes up again. So I think we got some cool stuff coming our way in Star Wars.
Yeah, definitely.
Battlefront 2.
Action figures.
Yeah.
They had a lot of good toys released. We'll talk about those.
Another thing real quick that they released that's kind of similar. I don't know if this character is in Battlefront 2, but Captain Phasma is getting a book written by Delilah Dawson.
Tales from the Trash Compactor.
Yeah.
And also
Day 3.
And also a miniseries released by Marvel Comics, four-issue miniseries. I saw the cover art. Looks amazing.
They're building her character up.
They are.
They have to after Force Awakens.
And you
see her.
We're going to
see a big turnout.
Yeah, you see her in the trailer of The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
People thought that was from the scene. Knights of Ren. Yeah, from the scene with Luke and R2, but it was actually Phasma from a different scene, and people think that it connects with the scene with Poe's X-Wing being destroyed.
That's what I thought.
So that could be cool. Because I've also heard that to go back to that, the movie starts off very, like, they bring you right in with action.
Straight
action.
That might
be one of the first scenes.
I don't want to know.
That's all speculation, old Ben.
But then all of a sudden you watch one theory and it makes complete sense. You're like, no, this is probably how it is. Stop. All right, guys. All right.
It starts off with Borg Gullet.
So now that I can believe.
Borg Gullet getting into somebody's thoughts. Then the whole Star Wars trilogy has been like inside of his head.
Borg Gullet, I think, is dead.
I probably think.
You think there's something to do with Borg Gullet and that Saw Gerrera character passing out those flyers? You think he's still alive?
I think he is.
I'm sure you do.
We're gonna see a standalone film.
Maybe he snuck onto the ship when they escaped Jedha, and he's gonna attack them like alien style when they get back to their base.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Battlefront 2 looked really cool. Very exciting weekend. Some mentions you guys want to talk about before we head out. Those are the main things. All those panels, a lot of big actors. I thought Anthony Daniels, he did a 40 years with C-3PO, and Warwick Davis hosted that. That made me laugh more than anything else in the entire celebration. It was very funny. I definitely suggest watching that. Those guys are great. Great banter. Great back and forth. Great. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Hamill himself. Even though he had a sore throat because of probably all the talking he'd been doing. It just really shows, the world that he is an amazing master storyteller. And the stories he had about Carrie Fisher, just the story, just answering the questions and just being a little bit of a smart ass, but just enough where you're like, oh, you got to love this guy. You can't stay mad at him. But yeah, he's one of those guys. Anytime we've talked about it, Rob, anytime he's doing an interview on, like, say, The Nerdist or something like that, I'm like, I don't care how long it is. I'm going to listen. I'm going to tune in because it's just, he's really just brings the listener in and has got some great stories because he was around. I mean, think about it. He was around that time where all of those things were going on, and he really he compared it to like being a Beatle, where he just unexpected fame at such a young age and all of the things that come along with that. And I enjoyed that. And another quick thing was Dennis Lawson, The Return of Wedge.
Oh yeah.
Which was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Dennis Lawson, who plays Wedge in the original trilogy, he, in the past couple months, has not had such good things to say about the franchise. And that was a pretty big surprise to have him there. And saw the interview with him, and he just seemed to be very, happy to be there. And that was really cool. Mm. So that's my 2 cents on that.
Hamill's always fun to watch, even though his dogs stole the show. I don't know if you saw that.
Carrie Fisher's dog, Gary, usually stole the show.
Oh, yeah, right? That's true.
Did an interview, yeah.
Did we mention that Chopper won the race in the droids?
Oh, no, we didn't. We should.
So they had a droid race. And Chopper is the champion. I love Chopper.
You think that was staged?
No.
Probably.
No way.
He cheated.
No way.
Chopper's Sebulba, the man. Sebulba had something to do with it.
Somebody lost their job.
Chopper's the best. They did a panel that was called These Are the Droids You're Looking For. And it had Alan Tudyk, who played K2SO. And they brought out Anthony Daniels again, who plays C-3PO. That was extremely entertaining as well. Did you guys happen to catch any of that panel?
Did not.
No.
Working.
I saw the Ray Park panel.
Ray Park.
Parts of it.
He's got a lot of energy, Darth Maul.
Yeah, I love the story about...
Prepare to be mauled. That was his...
How he had to make the face before he was sliced in half.
Yeah. And
he was told that he had to pretend he was constipated. He actually made the face.
Well, now, now retrospect, going to see, if I look back and see that movie, I'd be like, "Yep,
he looks constipated."
That's about Indian right.
Food. Indian food, baby.
Yeah, that was true. I watched that as well, and it was entertaining to see how he was trying to. He was definitely but it worked. I thought it worked. I thought it looked great. It looked fantastic. Ray Park looks like a fun guy.
Yeah, he'd probably be cool to just hang around with.
I ain't talking about mushrooms. One thing I want to mention really quick. Rex, is he in Return of the Jedi? Is there still a question mark or is there a period?
I think it's somewhere between a question mark and a period.
God damn it.
No, because basically I'm paraphrasing. Didn't Pablo Hidalgo say something like, you know, interpret how you'd like or something like that.
Yeah, but Rex, all right. Rex is obviously going back to the Clone Wars in the movies and in the animated series, and he actually showed up in Rebels as well. And there was this character, just to explain to people who don't really know the backstory, in Return of the Jedi, who looks just like him in his older years. And supposedly they confirmed at Star Wars Celebration this weekend that it was him.
Retconned it. Yeah, just basically like, yeah.
In that scene where they run up and overtake the satellite base on Endor at the end of Return of the Jedi, toward the end of Return of the Jedi, right?
I believe so.
Dylan, did you see this?
Yeah. I feel like that's just one of those things that they can do. You know, because when they originally made Return of the Jedi, I'm sure Rex wasn't even a thought.
But yeah, obviously. So, but is it confirmation? Yeah,
it's one of those things that they can just do and say it was Rex. You know, I think it definitely could be, though.
Old Ben.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, why not? But you know what, though? Here's the thing. We'll see, because... Again, it could be a swerve. We'll see the next season of Rebels, and if he makes it past then you know, I believe so. Yeah,
I'm glad that you gave that so much thought.
It somehow. They'll intertwine it somehow. Cool.
Yeah,
it's one of those little Easter egg things.
Ian McDiarmid was a wonderful. Everything that he was in this weekend. I know, old Ben, you're a fan of his.
Your anger.
Yeah, and it was funny because when they asked him. What's the line that most fans ask you to say? It was, old Ben.
Oh.
Did you know?
Do you know the story? Yeah, do you know the
story?
No.
That was his favorite scene.
Right.
But the line that most fans ask him to say is just, do it.
Do it.
Right.
That's it. That's what we get to ask the most. But it was cool to find out that Ian McDiarmid's favorite scene was when he was talking about the Darth Plagueis.
Right.
Yeah, in the opera.
In the opera.
It was just like a surreal moment. He was just having this 3-hour-long conversation with Hayden Christensen. It felt like that.
I think it makes that scene even more appealing, hearing him say that was something that meant something to him. That was really cool. That was neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it brings a deeper meaning to the film. I personally want to go back and watch Revenge of the Sith after just talking about that.
And we're all fans of Darth Plagueis, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let's get some of that in canon.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just make that book. Just make the Darth Plagueis book. You know,
that would be awesome. If they made a movie out of that, I would be very happy.
I don't see why they can't make the book. It doesn't conflict. If they make the Darth Plagueis book written by, what's his name? Don Lucino. If they make that book canon, I read most of it. Would it interfere with anything?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No. Just make it canon. It's a sweet book. It's an idea.
Well, tell him.
Just an idea.
Let's write to him. Please.
But that was our weekend. Anything you guys want to add? Anything you guys want to talk about? There was a lot of cool toys. Did you guys see the Funko Pop toys?
Yeah, no.
There were some cool Funko Pop toys. There was a lot of cool Black Series toys.
I really want the Qui-Gon Force Ghost Funko Pop.
Yeah.
I saw somebody posted on my Facebook feed that they found one at Target, and I was just at Target yesterday, and I didn't think to look. So
there was a Luke Skywalker with his speeder. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, the Black Series.
Yeah. And
the Thrawn was pretty cool.
It is confirmed that he has his poncho.
Thrawn was cool. What was that? The Black Series? I'm looking forward to seeing more Thrawn.
They have a bunch of Black Series diorama type things with like the backgrounds included, which are pretty cool. That's new.
Yeah. They put out a lot of really sweet toys. I think they did. I think they went all out this celebration, guys.
Yeah. It
was fantastic.
I think one thing, though, that we were waiting for was no Obi-Wan.
I know you guys are upset about this.
But Old I ben think, too, devastated. That kind of like the Han Solo, I was looking for something with Han Solo also.
I thought one of two things would happen. I thought we would get maybe a little Han Solo stuff for the Han Solo movie, which we didn't. Or,
that didn't even occur to me.
Yeah. Or
yeah, that's kind of weird.
I thought maybe. Or we would get an announcement for another spinoff movie, whether it be Obi-Wan or Boba Fett or the Mandalorian or Bounty Hunter movie they're talking about. But we didn't get any of that. But we can't complain.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be doing those either at Comic-Con or D23. I think that they're going to announce one of we're probably going to get some sort of, like, you know, with The Force Awakens, before The Force Awakens, some sort of, you know, behind the scene kind of thing, just seeing, you know, some of the stuff that's going on as far as Han, and then maybe bringing out Ewan McGregor at D23 for announcing the Obi-Wan movie. Because I just, it makes so much sense. The guy wants to do it. The story's there. I mean,
you were holding on for Ewan McGregor. I was too. I watched it up to the last second when they stopped live feed, hoping that maybe something would happen. I hope we get an Obi-Wan movie too.
You know, everyone was speculating that there would be something with Hayden Christensen as well. But nothing came with that. I mean, it was cool he was there, obviously. Very cool to watch. But I'm not gonna complain. There's still a lot more room for that to be revealed. And I do think they will do it with the Obi-Wan film.
I think they might.
Yeah.
They had a lot of great cosplay this weekend.
Yeah, props to those people who spent all that time making their costumes, you know? Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, some of it was amazing.
Some of those robots, those droids that they made, some of those fans make those droids. A lot of those props that you saw were made by fans as well. It's really neat, man. There's a love for Star Wars, and sometimes you need to look at Celebration to really understand how vast that is. They really go all out. Wow.
And I can only hope that I can go one day.
Yeah. One day. Yeah.
In person. That's one of my bucket list goals.
This was a big one. Anything you guys want to add?
No. I mean, my only regret is that I wish I could have actually watched a lot of the live feeds, because I had to work. And by the time I got home, they were already done. Yeah. But, you know, obviously, overall, I think, you know, they just did a great job, I think, with everything. I think the hosts were awesome. I think the peek that we got into the future with all of the new media coming out, whether it be Rebels or, you know, the next movies or any kind of novels coming out, or just all the new stuff is just very exciting. And I can't wait to see what's going to be coming out, you know, what they're going to be doing next. And yeah.
Darth Dylan, anything you want to add?
Yeah, like old Ben said, I was at work a lot this week, and for the majority of the live stream that I could have been watching, and I had family stuff to do today. But it's really cool that it's all online, and I'm definitely going to go watch the panels, like the Ian McDiarmid and Anthony Daniels and everything like that. But I really just think it's great that we got a glimpse into this fantastic celebration that they have going on, and the community is stronger than ever, and it's really a great time to be a fan of the series.
Absolutely. Definitely. Agree. Yeah. You can check out all those videos at StarWars.com. Those guys do a great job over there. But you can also check out all of our stuff at Twi'lek Talk Podcast on Facebook, YouTube, or you can check us out or email us at Twi'lekTalkPodcast@gmail.com. That was episode 2, guys. That was a lot of fun.
You could fax us, too.
Yeah, I don't know if people
send us smoke signals.
An SOS.
Yeah, so check us out. Definitely, on Twitter, did I say that? Check us out, Twi'lek Talk. We tweet. We like to tweet. We tweet.
We like to tweet.
We tweet. And until next time, I look forward to episode 3. This is Twi'lek Talk. I'm Rob Solo.
Old Ben.
Darth Dylan.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.